Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for taking time out of the busy schedules happening around the planet individually and collectively. And I just really appreciate you tuning in to Spiritual Emergency Training. We are in a spiritual emergency on the planet, and it's massive time for Martin Luther King's Advanced Consciousness Evolutionary programs, and I'm just so glad that you're taking time out with me today. I have two special guests, maybe a third one popping in, but yeah, opposite as MLK, yes, we need to go beyond race, religion, and gender. So I just want to put out, I have a dream that ties into our pledge of allegiance to the flag, one nation under God. Well, it's one. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. That's God within each of us. We're all made in the image of God. And if we get these heart and soul based legislation, community services going, we can go beyond race, religion, gender, and politics as they stand right now. And with me on this journey today, we've got Adam, who is Adam Rose. Hello. He is a visionary. He's a musician, and he's living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He has a strong conviction that we can heal the world in 100 days. Welcome, Adam. And we also
How are you?
Yes. And his website, real quick, you want to get that out right now so I don't space it out?
Sure. It's dissolvingthedream.com, and my music website is adamroseproductions.com.
It's really awesome. And then we've got Andy with us today, Andrew Miller, who has been on co-hosting some of my shows last year. Who is an interfaith leader, very evolved consciousness evolutionary, family counseling background, and counsels a lot of pastors and what have you too, or works with a lot of many. Also has been into computer politics and politics since he was birthed.
Technologies that help society.
Yes, right on. So welcome, Andy. Welcome, Adam. All right, let's go. What can we share to grow the light and grow the love and move the dimensions into the new systems? What do you think?
I want to hear what Adam says about 100 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's first talk about what 100 days could accomplish. What I mean in that sense is that we could see a major step forward such that we could reduce the stress levels dramatically, like by 80% or something like that. And that there's just a general climate of friendliness when you walk outside, such that people are acknowledging one another a little bit more. There's a little bit more collaboration between people. That would be the first initial step. And because we have the technology, we have the internet, we have the cell phones now, we have the capacity to spread ideas immediately all over the world, we should be able to do something very, very quickly here. You know how quickly videos go viral, and oftentimes it's some trash, some nonsense that doesn't make a difference hardly whatsoever, or it might appear to be something that's really beneficial, but it just follows in the same vein of most efforts, which lead to nowhere. So we have the capacity to do this, but right now we're lacking in organization. We're lacking in a common understanding. I would say is the first step is to reach some sort of common understanding, and then we can get there, and we can get there really quickly. As I said, the internet and cell phones, this technology, if we use it correctly, and social media as well, we can use that correctly as well. We can get the job done pretty quickly here.
I don't doubt that we have the capacity, but how do you narrow focus with the fire hose of information that's out there and get a broad range of people to pay attention to the message you've crafted? That's the trick.
That is one of the biggest things. And that's really why I just decided at the beginning of the year that I was going to learn social media and that I was going to try to connect with more people, because I have a strong conviction that my ideas are right, but how to actually crack the code and get into a larger sphere is one of the big things that I'm trying to figure out right now. But we have so much common ground, and people basically agree on the most important things, yet there's people are still allowing certain kinds of views to keep them divided when really there shouldn't be a whole lot of division there. We also have a lot of attention diverted into all kinds of what you might call mystical subject matter, like what's going on with Tartaria or Antarctica or the moon, and all these different kinds of subjects, when we should be really practical here. We should be thinking about how do we actually solve the problems of the world, given that most of the solutions already exist. And I was talking with a friend the other day. I asked him to name one problem he thought that could not be solved really quickly. And he said, nuclear waste. And I said, you know what, I bet we could solve that one too quicker than you could even believe. So I don't have any doubts.
Yes,
that we
I agree, Adam. I want to jump in there, because if we get all the militaries to stand down and go green, because we're all connected, we all have the same basic, thought forms, actually, or needs worldwide, and that science has proven that if anyone's angry or upset, their answers are inside of them. That's where the ascension programs or inner peace police or, you know, soul therapies work, and why we need to go and develop these armies of light, so to speak, instead of armies of killing, right, or violence. Because if someone's angry or upset and their answers are inside of them, hey, you just sit down and get them connected to source, and source will say, hey, this is your life path, this is what you've done, or maybe it's a past life problem, these are your lessons, this is what's going on, how to use your third eye and that multidimensional part of themselves, you know, to shift them individually and then help them, you know, law of attraction at a heart and soul level, and then the cosmic universal laws that we are cut off from, because we are also cut off from source individually, and get that back reunited with everyone worldwide so that they will stand down and go green. Military.
Right.
Yeah, because right. You stop the violence from inside out, and then you stop the mass warring and drugging and the jailing and all those types.
Adam, do you think that most people are, do you think that the majority of people are opposing each other or simply aren't aware of their common needs?
I would say the latter would be much more accurate. Lynn and I were talking before about how we get these kind of memes from mainstream media, such as the country is so divided, and then you start to see this echoed through all the different people, everybody's saying the country is so divided. We were just talking about earlier how this is just a bunch of nonsense, you know, that really we all want pretty much the same things.
We could probably do about 10 radio shows on what you talked about already, so I'm trying to keep it down and simple.
Right. No, I mean, the common ground is there, and that's what I'm always looking for in conversations with people, because I don't really believe in such thing as a valid argument, really. It's usually just a refusal to understand. And oftentimes language is used in such a way that people don't even agree upon the definition. So I like to be really clear about what the definitions are of certain words before we just go off having a huge conversation, and then it could erupt into an argument. Well, define the terms first, and then you can see that you do actually have common ground about certain things.
I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I've come to the conclusion, among many other things, that the definition of the languaging that you call often comes from the fact when I sit down with someone and I don't know what they believe, and I usually ask them to explain it to me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen and I try and feed it back in a way I understand, and if I don't get it right, I ask them to correct me. A lot of times people are so anxious to get their view out that they're not stopping and listening to what's coming at them. And if we want to, not all the time, but a lot of times.
Sure. Yeah.
So
that is very common.
And to stay away, and if one, it's easy to communicate with people who are invested in communicating, because then they'll say, I don't understand, or you said something to me off. But there are a bunch of people that are not invested in communicating. And if you say something that they react to, they just remove themselves from the communication. And that's one of the things I'm trying to figure out how to deal with. Because it's easy to reach people who are invested in trying to get to yes.
Right. Well, that's a very good point there. And this is what I think we should be focusing on, is looking for the people who we can communicate with rather than try to communicate with people that we can't. Why waste time when there's such huge problems that need to be tackled immediately, when there are people in dire need that cannot wait for help? Let's talk with people who we can't communicate with, and let's not follow this insane political example. Like, I used to remember that show Crossfire on, what is it, CNBC or something,
sure
where
do.
You have knuckleheads arguing with each other. That's not the kind of communication that we need. We need a kind of communication in which we understand each other. And if I say something that you don't understand, you can ask me what I mean, and vice versa.
I did a lot of thinking about this. You and I got to talk more. I did a lot of thinking about this.
Yeah, because to me, that's where you start. You have to start at the place where you can communicate well with one another. And that's a huge, huge part of, to me, where we actually need to start, is getting the communication barriers broken down so we can actually relate on a much more natural and authentic level, so we can actually really get something done here.
I've heard a few well-known writers say they believe that 85% of Americans or more want the same five basic things. And a lot of polls that are worded properly bear that out.
Right. Yes.
Worldwide humans, all humans, you know, need, you know, they need love and support for who they really are and why they're here. And it's not really available to them. You know, Jesus talked about thought forms and what your thoughts, and then, you know, where your thoughts coming from. Well, we've been cut off from our chakra systems are so friggin' messed up. There's so much post-traumatic stress everywhere to keep people in this divide, conquer, separate, or drugged, you know, street drugs. I mean, all drug highs are free. You know, why aren't we having, you know, where's our food sourcing? Why don't we have green civil services in every community where people can have all kinds of organic and all the food sources that are needed, like, you know, all the herbs, okay, not just pot or marijuana and cocaine and heroin, all of them. We need all the natural herbs, all the edible flowers, all the veggies, all the fruits, all the nuts, all the solar greenhouses. We need biophotonic water systems. We have to get out there what we can. People don't realize we put the militaries to stand down and go green and help people individually connect to source and get them connected to their workforce. Maybe it's animals, land, sea, water, air. Maybe it's, you know, different types of, you know, they'll know. They're here. They have these divine soul, God-given gifts, you know, these inalienable rights, and they don't even know who they are, why they're here. How can they have self-love and give love if they don't even know who they are or really why they're here? That's what the evolving consciousness of unity and the cosmic universal laws are need to be taught, enacted, and brought into legislative format so that we bring in the divine government, you know, with one nation under God to one world under God, individually and collectively for everyone.
I think that most thinkers are aware of what we need to do, and they're aware of what we can do, but the problem is how to do it, which means how do we teach, how do we put into our education system and our parenting system things that teach our children critical thinking, questioning authority, so that they're prepared when they see a media message, they know how to digest it and what to take from it. And when they hear a politician speak or a religious leader speak, they know what to take from it. It's about how we as people think and what we do with what we hear. And that's the real trick.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have
you want to change the world in 100 days? I have no doubt it can be done. I have no doubt the capacity is there. The real problem is how you detect me.
You two computer guys, really, it's really, really, I mean, really, like right now, there's the Peace Alliance. I send a whole list of all these, you know, evolved online programs that aren't being advertised or marketed. So bringing in the new propaganda of possibilities, they're not being shown. And there's this group that I think it's the Peace Alliance right now. They're running this mindfulness summit for kids. And then you go into, you know, soul parenting, it's online. Then you go into, you know, soulmate, and evolving, you know, twin flame, you know, evolving relationships, right? And then you've got to get really involved, too, at the next level where critical thinking, you were talking about that. We have a magazine program here that set up a critical thinking for children, a magazine. And it's not being...
That's wonderful, but out in the world of the cities, 90% of kids aren't being exposed to that. They're leading work-a-day lives. trying to struggle through the day, and their parents are struggling through the day.
No, it's the war programming. That's what we're connecting with right now, you know, with honoring the MLK and Veterans for Peace programs and all the peace groups, green groups, and there's UNAC. UNAC, everyone, UNAC, all caps, .org. They left the W out. It's United National Anti-War Coalition. It's really, really an important group. They've got World Beyond War, and they've got, you know, the Livable Council, Livable World Council, Win Without War, blah, blah, blah. You know, Veterans for Peace. Oh, and Ralph Nader has a radio show. Get on his show, too, Ralph Nader Radio. Anyway, we have a lot of work to do, and this is the next step is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is business, as I have over 3,800 myself, but, you know, it's getting the major, especially like LinkedIn, like the evolving alternative business programs for health and healing and body, mind, spirit workers and, you know, new health and human service divisions that can be developed, and getting them to get all the churches and all the spiritual groups and all the different 501c3s, and then getting them with all the peace groups and the green groups connected, and we write the legislation, we bring it in and move it through that paradigm, and that's where, Adam, we can do this in 100 days.
Well, yeah, and what we have to recognize is what needs to be done first here, and that's what a lot of people are missing. They see, okay, once we get off the ground, things can happen quite naturally, and we can build momentum pretty quickly and create this upward spiral. But what needs to be done first is often the question that is denied. And most people, as far as I can tell, are really ignorant of this. And this is that we have to dissolve the barriers between us first. And when I say that, I mean that we really have to embody ourselves as soul, be completely authentic beings as souls first. And then we have to, in the best way for this to happen, for the facade to come apart, is through agreeing with other people to specifically participate in a relationship, really group work. What I'm offering is a group work in which about 10 people get together, and they commit to this for about 4 weeks. And you commit to just being wholly authentic with one another for about 4 weeks, and you start to get rid of all of this craziness in your mind. You start getting used to being very honest and open with other people, and you start to support one another in your endeavors, in your creation process. You talk about what you want to create, and you share how you can help other people in their creation process too. And there's another part which is very important too, which is body work within these groups. I don't want to go too into that right now, but it's the first step is really starting to solidify relationships with people who are awake, getting them together and doing that first, and not worrying so much about the masses. They're going to do whatever they're going to do. You can't really communicate with them quite yet. And even a lot of people who would label themselves as spiritual have not developed the right kind of thinking about these things. They're not practical enough about how to solve the problems. And so it's really about getting together with people who are awake enough that they're really committed. Okay, I don't want this false self to exist anymore. I don't want any more false relating. I don't have the energy to put into false relationships anymore. I want to commit to this first. I want to commit to actually building some really soulful relationships with people, and then we can really start to get stuff done. But if we don't do that, then I can only expect that we're going to continue this really haphazard approach where it's you do your thing, I do my thing, everybody else does their own thing, and here we are. It's like if you want to lift a really heavy object together, you've got to all get there at the same time and do it at the same time. You can't just do it one at a time. You know, there's certain things.
Well, haven't we seen a little bit of that with the women's marches and the Parkland kids organizing the rally in D.C. and the various other marches? Haven't we seen some societal coalescing in large groups of common goals?
There's no doubt about that, but when it comes to actually liberating the world, you have to have a much greater vision of the entire thing. And it's most of these things are battling certain kinds of things. You know, so right now,
I'm going to anger every change agent by what I'm about to say. I'm going to anger almost everybody when I say, I don't think what you need to do is to do anything new. I think what we need to do is to bring out what's already there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and how to love one another. Okay, we have all these systems about drugging, jailing, killing, abusing, demeaning. You know, I mean, really, we do. We have these programs.
Well, I understand what Adam's saying. Adam's saying, and before you can get broad systemic change, you have to form supportive networks. And I'm going to think about that. I spend most of my time thinking about broad systemic change. You know, the classic line is, well, computers are systems, so are people. But, you know, I've been focusing on broad systemic change. I have to think about Adam's idea and see what part it plays. I'm not ready to totally abandon efforts toward broad change, but supportive groups is a good idea. I'm just concerned that that's been tried before and often devolves into chaos because of agendas that people may have, the difficulty for people to be authentic. I mean, people in my life, I'm always the one in the room. I can just talk about everything intimately right away, but everybody else seems to be guarded and careful and worried about how they'll look or their reputation.
Right. Well, in regards to that, I hope that here in 2019 that enough of us have been going through the spiritual process together such that we realize that the old methods don't work, and this is the only way. The only way is through relationships and being real and authentic. So I think, yes, I've been aware of many of these things that have existed, and most of them have failed because we have been so filled with delusions. But I think many of us by now in 2019 realize we just want community. We want to be connected. We don't want this crap anymore, and we don't want a new meditation technique. We don't want a new mantra. We don't want the latest mushroom. You know, we just want what's real. We just want to relate to others in a very real and authentic way, and we're realizing that this is what it's all about. So I think
Adam, you should buy my new book. It only costs $75. It's all about the latest, newest thing that I invented a half hour ago. It'll be on the stands by tomorrow.
Okay. All right. You can autograph one for me.
That's an extra fee to autograph one for you.
There's a fellow that came here. His name is Stephen J. Bavalik, and he's got his PhD in family counseling. And it's a system, management. It kind of goes along with this Camille. Anyway, she does a holistic Chamber of Commerce work, you know, bringing in really it's sort of a groundwork for the blueprints for these new communities of enlightenment, peace, green, infrastructure projects, programs that we get the money out of the government. Our government subsidies have to be reallocated, so we have to get practical. Because if people don't, if you do heart and soul work and you help people, get the ahas and they're awakened or whatever, if they don't have a job, it's almost like the churches need to be open 24/7, set up safe parks. Because if people don't have a place to go and heal their mental problems, and get connected to source, get their chakra system cleared up and opened so that they have direct contact with their higher power and they become more responsible and let go, let God. You know, if they're angry or upset, they learn the tools to use higher consciousness, the Holy Spirit realm, the higher consciousness, light of God, the God within them. Then you're starting to get, but they have to have a safe place to live, to process, and they have to have work. So this Stephen J. Bavalik came in and he set up these programs for what he calls nurturing, caring communities. They're kind of evolving into conscious evolutionary outreach programs, coalitions, he calls them. But it actually was set up with an admin that through our local ORCA, and it goes where you have a application form, and it applies to all the 501c3s in our county. We have a small county. There's about 75,000 residents, and there's 637, and someone said there's like 657 501c3s. So these new volunteer at a heart and soul level jobs could already be enacted and activated at an enabling processing, where so people won't be, they'll let go of the worrying, the drug, and the jail, and the craziness of the other emotionally dysfunctional, limited ego programs that, have been taught and trained to cope with drugs, take more guns, more violence, more war, more confusion, more... anyway, so And more jails. So anyway, he comes in, he puts up this program, and it's integrated in through the schools. And so it develops these new projects and programs for the schools to integrate. It's mindfulness at a, I don't know, maybe it's more of a practical level, but the churches should be able to pull it in to the, you know, they're open, they should be open 24/7 because the jails, the juvies halls, the warring, you know, the military bases, the iSpy people, the whatever, you know, a lot of the people with, you know, semi-dark agendas, what have you, you know, they're, it's open 24/7, you know, a lot of those, you know, casinos, what have you. Why don't we have churches open 24/7 for a new mental health evolving consciousness programs? I don't understand. We have over 300,000. And then if we opened up all these new jobs just at a base level, that would give people a chance to either sign up for, you know, taking care of animals or whatever, you know, their heart and soul residences. They get the good basic guaranteed income. They have a place to stay, not to be on a barrack. And then they also have a single-payer health care, which is really critical right now, universal single-payer health care, which is just really, really important so that we shift the consciousness and the job creations back to community rights, communityrights.org, communityrights.org programs that are setting up too, so that the communities start to take the money that comes in too from the government subsidies that are federal that are being obfuscated and taken away from and used by all the friggin', you know, large corporations to bring them back to the people in the states and then to the communities that they can reorganize and redevelop, you know, these new interconnected, like I said, peace, you know, cities of inner peace. Inner peace with all kinds of, you know, integrated programs. We have 22,000 501c3s in Oregon alone that could be hiring, you know, tomorrow. You know, they could. And just to get that started, and then they have the new programs for the other programs. They said if you took 10% of the military-industrial complex of our U.S. CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and used 10% of that money, everyone could get $40,000 a year. So, you know, at 18. And they could start, you know, doing these new programs for practical application of, you know, learning new business projects, paid apprentices, not paid to kill. You know, they have paid programs for all these different volunteer programs instead of being paid to, you know, drug and jail and kill each other. And then, you know, all these new job creation programs. Oh, there's a USDAC, too. There's a United States Department of Arts and Culture. It's really beautiful. And so integration of all the movement, art, singing, dance therapies, sound therapies, and what have you. They can all be integrated into new community job creation programs. And then they have the new cooperatives, like this one youth right away goes, well, does that mean me and my friends could actually get a space and start our own business because we'd have a basic guaranteed income to work together to build our own, you know, cooperative, you know, outreach locally, but also, you know, statewide or even nationally or internationally. You know, that's what I'm trying to get out. Thank you.
Great. Well, Lynn, it's a really good point. Now, as you're saying that, I created a page on the website. It's called Strategy and Organizations. I can't get a signal on my iPad right now. But anyhow, it's one of the ideas that I have on there is actually to get some type of app similar to what Uber uses where you can basically volunteer. And so if you have time to log onto this app and somebody needs help somewhere, you can just go on there, you can volunteer, and you can make your day feel like it was worthwhile by volunteering. You can help
I'm
someone else.
I'm not sure, but I think such a thing may already exist.
It might. You know, I'm sure I'm not the first person to have thought of it if it's already out there. But once,
no, I'm
once
just thinking, I'm trying to remember, I might have heard something specific. I can
okay.
dig into my
brain. Yeah, well.
Have an application form for all those outreach jobs or places or volunteers or whatever, but we haven't really integrated like that people can actually, you know, like a lot of people, pay them to sign up to help be firefighters, you know, because maybe that pay them, you know, they should just have a basic guaranteed income to do the firefighting and expand it if that's what they're drawn to. You know, we have to go to all those set up programs, and we have them kind of, you know, in the application form for all these different basic 501c3s, but we have to extend it like what you said, because then you're really, really reaching that everyone, you know, is, you know, being responsible, like, boy, you're really messed up. You better go get realigned, see what's going on with you, and get connected. You know, we don't need more technology connection. We need love connection. We need source connection. It is so important to get people heart and soul-based, you know, connection work, that they can get a job. It's advertised, marketed, and all the propaganda is out there to really let people know it's available and how to, you know, get connected.
Right. And so in order to get plugged in such that you can form these heart and soul connections, we can use the technology to our advantage. It is a tool.
Yes.
So we can find the, so we can find these people. And we can find opportunities. You know, the thing is, I want it to be as easy as possible for anyone that wants to help to be able to help. So I don't have to go I don't have to go somewhere fill out an application. I can I can just log onto an app and say that I needed someone to volunteer for me. Maybe there need to be some kind of vetting process just to make sure that I'm not crazy. You come to my house and help me rake leaves or something. You know, something like that. But you know, the thing is, we have. Like with Uber, there have been so few incidents of violence that I'm aware of. I don't know. I just what I've heard of. Most people do not want conflict. Most people do not want to hurt other people. Most people want to be trusting of other people. Most people want connections. So things like the like this volunteer app, I think, is a really, really good idea because you can get people out there volunteering with very, very little effort. You know, if you don't know what to do, you just log onto the app and there's opportunities and something like that takes off. It could be really, really transformative. And then, obviously you wouldn't need skill so much and you could get so many different types of opportunities. And then maybe you could rate each other, like on, you know, you can give each other a number of stars so you can kind of develop a profile and you have the incentive to do good for one another, so you'll rate each other well, and so that other people can see that you're more trustworthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we can really use this technology to benefit us, but that's the whole thing is I want it to be as easy as possible to get involved.
Just as an aside, Adam, I would prefer that all apps had partner websites, my personal opinion. So you
could not just use
your phone, but also your computer.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
What Adam was talking about was something you could access on your phone, and I'd like it to be able accessible on the computer as well.
Right.
Yes, of course.
It's just my personal view as an information person. I was just reading about something in Forbes magazine, Ithaca, New York. GiveGab set out to increase volunteering worldwide by developing software and a social network that helps nonprofits, communities, and volunteers manage and promote their efforts. And they've got an iOS app. Now, I don't know if this is actual, it's called, I don't know if it's actual volunteering or just donating yet. But they mentioned some volunteermatch.org, LinkedIn's volunteering site. In other words, we should do more online research along your ID and see what's there now.
Right.
Maybe
right.
something's there like what you want, or maybe something close, or maybe it'll point out the need. So
Andy, what was that other one? Foundation for a Better Life World?
Foundation for a Better Life had all those great videos.
Yes.
I'll share the link. PassItOn.com had some great videos, inspirational videos.
Really
I happened to be watching a television channel that was diametrically opposed to my personal political views because I like to stay informed. And on this channel, they had a commercial with a very inspirational video about love and stopping war. And it was the last place I expected to see this video. So I really stood up and took notice, not just because what it was, because among my people of my ilk, I'd see those all the time, but I didn't expect to see it where I saw it. And that made me stop and think, wow, that's different.
Very, very, very different. Tell them where you saw it.
Fox News.
God, okay. I can't believe it.
Anti-war, pro-love, pro-togetherness.
Yeah.
You know, right after they're promoting the latest evil from the White House. in my opinion, evil.
Yeah.
But anyway, because I believe it's important from my views, I should be informing myself about even those whose views I don't agree with. They're even more important that I listen to. What are they thinking? Why? Oftentimes, people who have views different than mine have very sound, good reasons for what they believe. It's important for me to know what that is, because if I can offer an answer, if it's the right answer, it'll hold for them too. And if it won't hold for them too, it's not the right answer. I need to grow more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so much of this has to be rising above the level where people are squabbling and finding what the common ground is. Because we have, hundreds of thousands of years of proof that the current ways are not working. The current climate of conversation that's being had at this political level, this mainstream level, does not get anywhere. It's like intentionally dysfunctional. And people still put their faith in it. They still get worked up about what's happening.
It's an old trick for people to grab control and grab power by inciting fear in others, dividing them, and claiming that only they can save you from the fear. It's an old game.
Sure. Yep. And that's something that's very important to realize, is that when you're watching a story and you're being given something that you don't have to invest your emotional energy in or your thought energy in. They're giving you something to kind of waste your time with, oftentimes. And you have to be aware that they're doing this
as a way to inform me. I use that as a way to inform me of what they're trying to peddle and why. And then those people who fall for what they're peddling, I can reach out to them and explain why I think they're being misdirected, if I think they are. Or I could explain why I understand their fears. Maybe we could come to a consensus view on how to solve a problem, instead of letting people who are trying to grab power divide us, which just doesn't help anything at all.
Right.
So what about the Sunrise Movement and the Women's March? And I'm just trying to think, you know, there's this humanitiesteam.org programming and the shiftnetwork.com, and then there's Charter for Compassion, and then there's Transition U.S. Cities and the Next System Project that Noam Chomsky...
The fact is, we could probably spend the rest of the day mentioning groups of wonderful people all doing wonderful things.
And it's not on the news, so people don't know about it. That's what I, you know, for me anyway, here where I live, it's like they're in this you know, old ego mind, limited fear base, and people aren't trusting each other. They're getting, you know, more and more sick. They're getting more and more upset. They're grabbing more guns. They're grabbing more, you know, survivals. I mean, it's like, whoa, they are playing nasty. Like, I was just shocked at how many more people are like, threats, you know, if you're against, you know, I mean, the EPA, I mean, we don't have one. There's, you know, I mean,
Well, if I can interrupt for a second.
Yeah, please.
I got a simple phrase. It's fingers in the sky, toes in the ground. And this simply means that you want to focus your energy upward. You want to focus your energy on what you want to create, what you want to build.
Yes.
You want to put most of your energy into that. So like 90%. So maybe 10% of our energy is like our toes on the ground. Like you're not looking at your feet when you're walking around. Your eyes are up looking at where you want to go. Right?
Yes.
So you got to be aware of the ground that you're on. You got to be aware of the reality that we're in, but you can't be putting too much of your energy on the problems. We're well aware of the problems. We don't need another documentary showing us how the meat industry is bad. We know that by now. If we don't know that by now, we obviously have not been paying attention, and we probably never will. We got the problems. We understand that the problems are rampant, and they're not going anywhere unless we have a unified, sensible approach to solving them.
Exactly.
So that's where the creation process comes in. Most of our energy needs to be on the solution right now. And,
yes.
You know, I'm offering it. I'm explaining it in as much detail as I can, but people have to come to the realization that this is about relationships, authentic relationships more than anything, and that's where you got to start. And until people really get that, they're going to keep trying to solve the problem in ways you can't. They're going to keep trying the latest $997 ad they saw on YouTube to fix your life or whatever, become a great real estate developer or something. You know, there's all of this success culture BS is just driving me crazy right now.
Well, that's because what's happening is they are seeking some sort of feeding their spirit without realizing that's what they want. So they're trying to replace their spiritual need with something else. They just don't understand that's what they're chasing. But I want to add something to what you said. I agree it's important to look up, but by the same token, I'm kind of a practical person. I mean, we all know what the solutions are. I want to focus on how do we implement them, and that requires being aware of the world we live in.
That's exactly right. You know, so I'd say what we need to be is practical visionaries. And as far as spirituality goes, if it's not practiced to me, it's not spiritual. It's something else. Well, you can call it whatever you want to call it. But spirituality and practicality to me are basically inseparable. So if it doesn't actually solve a problem, please don't call it spiritual. Just call it something else. It has to be about solving the problems here. And so I am very practical in the way I see it. And being a visionary, I see how awakened soul presence and when you get together in groups of people and you build synergy, I can see how that's like setting a forest on fire. I can see how it's like creating a spark. The spark creates a flame. The flame creates a small fire. It starts a bunch of twigs on fire. Then you got your logs once more people get in. Then finally a tree goes up. And then more people come in, and finally you get the whole forest on fire. So we have to have the vision that such a thing is possible. And I would say the more dedicated you are to awakening, the more it will become apparent to you that your awakened soul presence and your ability to synergize with other people is really where the power is at. And I wouldn't for a second say that the President of the United States is more powerful than me. I don't believe that at all. I believe I'm just as powerful as him. And I know you can be too, and we all can be just as powerful. And here we are
giving our power away
to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's different kinds of power, and there's different perceptions of power.
Go ahead.
One thing I want to add to you, you can speak about awakening, and that's fine, and you can speak about practicality, but I will tell you something. One of the reasons why I translate and transmute spiritual language into practical language is when I go out into the world and I meet people on the street, they will accept my ideas more readily if they think I have a real good grasp on what their perception of reality is. So mm-hmm. One of the things I might do as a practical idealist is take what I think is a great potential for change and phrase it in ways that fit into their current worldview. For instance, mm-hmm. It just so happens that cleaning up our environment happens to be profitable. Cleaning up our environment can provide good, well-paying jobs. It can provide good education, and that's what people want. Cleaning up our governance could provide good health care. I can say it. Mm-hmm. I can talk about the divine within, and 9 out of 10 people around me will glaze over and say, there's another religious guy trying to peddle something to me. But if I talk mm-hmm. about why certain change makes practical sense, if I want to talk about health care, I will discuss it in terms that describe how to provide a health care system that costs less for people, that provides more quality care for people. It just so happens it might be single-payer health care, but I'm going to tend to stay away from some of the terms until I get people on board with the theme, because mm-hmm. sometimes they react to the trigger words. So in that way, I often find myself expressing the same things that spiritualists do, but in a much more practical way. For instance, a spiritualist is working on accessing the Holy Spirit realm, and I might use a different phrasing about looking inside, looking for one's instincts, or I might find other words that people are, the broader spectrum of populations, more comfortable with. But it's actually the same road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't have a whole lot of conversations with people about this kind of subject matter whatsoever. It's actually difficult to find people that want to converse about this. But I have a lot of good interactions with people, which I would say are just more simply playful and spontaneous and fun. And that's kind of like the level that I meet most people on. So I don't even
get it. Well, Lynn and I talk about that all the time. Lynn and I agree that you got to have fun, or what's the point of the whole thing?
Right. And so that's the way that we can really connect with people. It's like maybe we, you know, today, just like a small example, like the guy in the car next to me, after he was done getting groceries, I saw, well, I have to go return my cart, so I was like, I'll take yours too, right? So I start walking, I got two carts, and I see somebody else, and I say, hey, you mind do me a favor, run these all the way back up to the store. You know, so we build a little flow right there. And whenever you go out, you can interact more with people. Like the hostess at the restaurant today, she had a bunch of tattoos. My family went sat down. I was having a conversation about her tattoos for about 3 minutes. I'm probably one of the few people that ever asked her about her tattoos, you know, because maybe it's not societally acceptable. But I got a little story about her, and you know, we had this conversation. So we didn't even go into anything political or spiritual or anything that you might call deep. It's just a very personal relationship, and that's what I'm talking about here. It's about relationship, and it doesn't matter what the subject matter is about. If you're talking with a child, obviously they're not going to be too interested in the healthcare system. What are they interested about? Can you play a little game? You know, can you have a little fun? And that's
depending on the age
about.
Of the child, it may involve hand gestures and funny faces.
Sure. And obviously, with pets, you're not going to have a conversation at all. But you still can have a meaningful exchange of energy.
You don't talk
with
to your
them.
Cat?
I do, actually.
I talk to my cat.
Yeah. No,
so education, new job creation is everything. There's like what happened, one thing that's not getting any information out there right now that is happening, because I'm pretty despondent with a lot of the brutality that's going on between Israel and Palestine. So the Jewish Voice for Peace stepped in, and then .org, you might want to share that, and then they can help with this shift. And then Marianne Williamson with A Course of Miracles, she's going to put her hat in on, and Oprah backs her too, which is good, you know, Deepak Chopra, which is on, and Oprah does Super Soul Sunday. So anyway, the evolution of consciousness with A Course of Miracles with transpersonal psychology development, sort of another way of looking at it, what have you. But she's actually Jewish, too. And Miriam Knight, who's been on my program before, she's amazing. She and her husband started the New Connection newspaper, and they are, and the Oregon Hypnotherapy Association medical hypnosis coding, and then also, too, they did the whole New Connection newspaper through in Idaho and Washington and Oregon. So, and then they're working with the New Renaissance movement, and then they also have a Spiritualist Nationalist Union Church. So very, very evolved souls. And but anyway, so there's all these things going on, and if we can just kind of get people knowing that we can do this, you know, that we really can bring in sort of a evolving consciousness, evolution, programs and jobs. You know, like I said, One Nation Under God, why don't you say Heart and God jobs then? I don't know, because we pledged allegiance, okay? We pledged allegiance. And they do it at the city councils. They do it I forgot to tell you in Israel what's happening. I'll jump back to that, too, real quick. It's hand-to-hand schools, and there's Jewish women and Jewish teachers in the same room with the Muslim teachers, and it's just so beautiful. People don't realize a lot of the Islamic, they don't believe in any violence of any kind. With true Islam people don't. So that's just been a lie. But anyway, so they have a Muslim teacher in with hijab. I saw one with the Jewish teacher. They're just hand in hand. It's called hand to hand. They teach the kids each other languages, and they teach them to play together. It's just beautiful. So anyway, I'm just getting.
Well, Lynn, you don't have to teach kids to play, you know, and you don't really have to teach adults to play either. But a lot of adults have become so conditioned that it becomes unnatural to play. You don't have to teach kittens to play. You don't have to teach puppies to play. You don't have to teach horses to play. Play is a natural thing for everyone. And for adults not to play is a huge mistake as well. And I don't mean just like play sports, but I mean just have a playful spirit and approach life playfully. It's so, so important. And
it's like music, harmonic, convergence. What resonates, you know, what kind of, you know, I mean, that's the other thing, too, when I say that, is there, you know, like, but we're when I say teach them, I mean, I grew up in the military industrial complex. There was no play, okay, none. I could go on and on. So I don't, you do have to allow that and the intention and say, you know, what's fun? What brings you bliss? What's exciting to you? And show, you know, give them. That's where the media propaganda comes in. You have to give people the ideas that there is this possibility of joyful children of God everywhere, of source of,
yeah.
you know.
Well, you have
I
to.
I mean,
yeah.
they don't know that we can do this, that it's just thought form and resonance. We're all energy. Everything's energy. And it's all education. It's all education. Is it coming, you know, from higher dimensional love, light? Okay, light energy, the soul is love and light, thought forms and feelings and actions. And it's also, when you say light, it's not just the light of God, actual physical resonance of the omnipotent light energy, but it's also in the light body and time travel, jump into the light and go backwards or forwards in time, other planets and all that. It's not just that power that we have that we were cut off from. It's actually that the light means forgiveness, 7 times 70, Christians, and caring, sharing, gratitude every day, forgiveness, caring, sharing, gratitude, you know, let God, if you're angry, upset, God first, find out what's going on, you know, take source, connections first, kids get this quick, I mean, I've worked with kids 8 years old, and they're on it, they get it. There, I could go on and on. It's just like, where are the schools to get kids, you know, to use their divine intergalactic internet? Where are they? Why aren't they teaching it? You know, I don't get this. I mean, we could do this. I mean, the kids could then be adults. You know, and then the resonance comes in, law of attraction. So if people are interested in animals, all of a sudden they're working at, you know, at cat houses, or if they're interested in the sea mammals or fish or, you know, land, sea, water, air, whatever, they know. And they can resonate there, and they can go to work there with their soul gangs, you know. They can actually go, I love doing that. That's where I'm going to go help. Or, you know, I'd love to go do that. Or, oh, this person, you know, these people need this, or that person needs that. You know, that's what the churches are kind of set up for anyway. But you have to pay people, you know. That's where the new economy, the radical sharing economy, that's really interesting. You might want to check that out, everybody. We're almost at the end of the show, so I'm talking really, really fast. We've got a, what's his name? It's either John or David, I can't, but it's Rifton. It's a radical sharing economy. So really, you know, the banking systems and Wall Street, you know, those bankers, they don't need to be rich like that. They really should be giving back, and so we have to renegotiate
all. Well, Let me make a quick statement.
Anyway, okay.
So we make a lot of should statements about the way things should be, but the fact is that they are going to continue to be the way that they are until we actually do something about it. So we really have to be solution-minded here. And you've got a great vision, and you clearly know about a lot of great things that are out there, but in terms of actually implementing the solution and getting the rocket ship off the ground, how the hell do you do that? Once it's in space, you know, you can do whatever. You know, you travel to any planet you want to, right? But how the hell do you get the rocket ship off the ground? We haven't done that yet. And there's people that that'll give you a line of BS, like we're passing through some Lion's Gateway or something, or some other astrological kind of thing. It's like, I want to see results. I don't care about that. Has the suicide rate gone down yet? You know, have the wars stopped? Are people still starving to death? These are the questions I want to look at. You know,
right,
spiritual is practical. So, yes, these things should not be, but they are. So what the hell do we do to get the rocket ship off the ground? And that's what I'm saying here is it's got to start with awakened soul presence, and then you got to get together with other people. It's like the whole idea of the isolated spiritual journey, we've got to forget this entirely. We've got to realize that this is entirely a collective endeavor right now. And if we're trying to do this on our own, we are 100% wrong. And so, I mean, if we think about like a man and a woman, say that they're each the lower corners of the triangle, and they ascend the triangle to the top.
2 minutes.
Sure. They ascend the triangle to the top, and that's where the you get the divine spark, and you get a new life, you get a new baby from their synergy coming together. And it's not a perfect analogy because no analogies are perfect in this twisted world. But that's what happens when you come together with other people and your energy is pure, you create amazing things. And the more people that get together with this really awakened soul presence, the better it can be. So So that's the gold mine. That's where you got to start. And until you do that, everything you're talking about right now is just going to might or might not work, depending on if it gets the right kind of energy. So you got to really be focused on where do you start. And I'll tell you right now, I'm 100% that sure that these things that Andy was talking about earlier, these larger issues, will get solved like this. We got the internet. There's nothing that would necessarily need to slow us down. But why are all these so-called spiritual people out there doing their own damn thing instead of saying,
I can help you with that sometime, Adam. I have an answer.
Go real quick, Andy. Andy, go ahead. Go ahead, Andy. Say it. Go ahead.
No,
get it
after
up.
I'll do it another time. We got to wrap
this
up.
No, we only but for the last minute, tie it up because it's perfect. People need to
hear. To understand collective responsibility and therefore pursuing false goals on their own with separate agendas, not realizing we're all in this together.
It's a big house we're on. That's it. Or a little house, actually. Red, yellow, black, and white. Let's unite inside out. We got to go, everyone. Thank you so much. So much for tuning in. And thank you, Adam Rose. And thank you, Andy Miller. Thank you for being on my show today. I so appreciate it. And we're going to go out with Sarah Adams' song, Planet of the Light. Thank you so much. Much love, joy, peace, harmony, 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 new cooperatives, new Planet of the Light. Here we go. All right, take care, everybody. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and thanks again for tuning in. Bye now.
As our voices join together, bring this light of celebration, that our hearts join together, light the hymn star. The end of the night, we can again be